The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I am your host, Tiffany Ray, president of the Cincinnati or Greater Cincinnati REIA, and I am sitting in today for the real estate goddess herself, Vina Jones Cox. Today we are talking about real estate acquisition strategies, and I'm really excited because it's all things mobile home. And our very special guest today is Adrian Smood. Remember, you can call us at 1-877-772-9658. And or you can email us at our new email address, vinaradio@gmail.com. That is vinaradio@gmail.com. So let's get to it. I'd like to introduce our special guest today. Adrian Smood has been investing in real estate since 2002, I believe. He transitioned from an unexpected eviction to a savvy landlord. Over the next decade, he dabbled as a hobbyist in real estate until his pivotal meeting in 2013 that ignited his passions specifically for investing in mobile homes. He is a recognized authority in his niche, and he is the best-selling guide author of How to Buy Mobile Homes. Additionally, he is proactive in three mastermind groups, one of which he actually leads, and he dedicates his time to spending and teaching nationally, sharing his insights and his strategies for how to do well and be successful in real estate. I'd like to welcome today Adrian. Are you there?
Yes, Tiffany. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Adrian. Yeah, I appreciate you being on the call today. So let's not waste any time and let's get to it. I've got a list of questions. I believe we have some emails and maybe even a couple of calls that are coming in. But I'd like to get started with you. You quit your tried and true route buying rental real estates altogether, and now you are 100% buying mobile homes. So tell us, what exactly is it that you like so much about these mobile homes?
The shortest answer and why I got attracted to the mobile homes from the beginning is the return on investment. They are much higher cash flow.
Okay,
since
ROI.
Then, because it's not all money driven, I have learned that they're recession resistant. It's a hidden niche. I enjoy helping people that don't normally get a lot of help, which are usually mobile homeowners, because there's not a lot of us out there buying mobile homes, and they have problems that need to be solved as well. So there's all different reasons, but the original reason is the cash flow is higher.
Okay, so it's interesting that you would say ROI is your biggest reason, right? I get the social aspect in the recession, but just like houses, mobile homes have evolved increasingly over the years. I know there are mobile homes, manufactured homes, modular houses, and I was just reading an article in realestate.com probably about 2 weeks ago that said that this gentleman purchased a mobile home for $5 million in New York. So I hear you saying ROI, and they're cheap ones, new ones, old ones, expensive ones, in parks, on land. So tell us about your perfect mobile home property or your ideal mobile home property that you invest in.
Well, my ideal one is not $5 million. It is a much lower cost to get in. So I focus on a single unit mobile home with the land. We commonly call this a home land package. And what I mean by a single unit is think of a single family space, but it happens to be a mobile home. So it can be a double wide, a single wide, but it's one unit. It's not an entire park of multiple units, which is a multifamily class, and it's not the unit within the park. So we've got three main ways that we can invest in mobile homes. We can buy just the unit in the park, and we don't own any dirt. We can own the whole park. And then the middle one that has less attention on it, which is one reason I found my niche in it, is I own the home and land. I like to rent them out long term. I like to joke around, it's slow, boring money, predictable every month. And I look at the 1960s and 70s, and then I'll look at newer ones as well. But there's a little bit better cash flow in the older ones.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so if there are more cash flow in the older ones, that lends me to ask you a question about the rehab. So, like, a lot of the houses that I buy, they need work. So I'm buying the older ones too sometimes, or the ones that really have deferred maintenance. But how are you able to get them cheaply? Like, are they more affordable? Is this your approach to the mobile home strategy? Or how is the rehab different from your traditional single family?
Great question, and this is something that keeps a lot of people out of the mobile home space. They have this big fear that these are these complicated things to work on. Well, they're not. Let's start out with the easier topic within the rehab. Newer mobile homes, You go to your big box store and you buy the same thing, the same doors, drywall. That's easy. When we get into the older ones, yes, the materials inside are not as good as what you would be using inside of a house. But that doesn't mean we can't upgrade what's there. So a lot of it has older wall panel. If we want to spend the money, we can just put drywall and we can put 2x4s in it. We can put the same materials in the mobile home. That's how we upgrade them and bring them back to life and make them beautiful. But some homes can't afford the high cost, we'll say, of a beautiful end product. And maybe we'll keep those as more of a handyman special, especially if we're going to resell it. And we'll make them safe and livable. We'll put some wallboard back up. And that's a different type of property in end product of it. And those are usually the ones that are in the 1960s, 1970s. I'm sure we'll talk about value of them, but there's not as much value in the home there, so that we can't put as high of a finish. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a whole lot of sense. So we're going to get into a little bit more of this, but right now we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back with you. Welcome back to Real Live Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Tiffany Ray. And if you're tuning in today, yes, you are in the right place, and Vina is somewhere having fun today, so I'm sitting in for her. Today we're talking about mobile home real estate investing and acquisition strategies with Adrian Smood. But I'd like to give you some information about what's happening this Saturday at Cincinnati RIA. So guys, if you think that commercial properties might be in your future, you will definitely want to check out this Saturday all-day online intensive. It's about profits and possibilities in commercial real estate, and yes, it is on Zoom. So you can get information at Cincinnati RIA, that is CincinnatiREIA.com. And our lines are open. You can call us at 1-877-772-9658 or send us an email at vinaradio@gmail.com. So, Adrian, we were talking about stereotypes and myths when we took a break last. And so I'm thinking you have some stuff to tell us about that.
Yes, Tiffany, thank you for asking this question, because it's one of the biggest myths that we have to upgrade our mindset about. And I'm going to be a little less politically correct and say what you some people are thinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say the term trailer trash.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's some Netflix shows and country music and different things that have made that a stereotype. And it is a stereotype. It's not always true. I would tell you who lives in most of our properties are the working blue-collar handyman, handywoman that I mentioned earlier. They take pride in their homes. The stereotype of the high crime and the not taking care of the property and all this, those people can live in an apartment, they can live in a single family residence, but all of a sudden, if they live in a mobile home that has wheels under it or had at one point, they get stereotyped as trailer trash. And we don't have those as our residents. We attract people by fixing up the property the right way and by buying in areas that attract a good resident that wants to live there and take care of the property. So that is our strategy. We could invest in areas that would attract the stereotypes that you're talking about. And a lot of our residents stay for a long, long time. You know, life changes in every type of housing, but our residents want to stay there. They want to take care of the property. And I love it because we're helping them out and we get a long-term resident. I'm in the long-term rental business because as property managers, as housing providers, in reality, we work when we have a vacancy. And I would much rather be out traveling, having fun like Bean is doing today than working.
I'm sure she's going to get us for that. I heard you mention, the turnover rate was not bad at all, and just the low and slow. And I totally get that. But I'm curious to understand, you said the handyman, but what about our Section 8 tenants? There's a lot of a stigma around people. I see a lot of signs that say they won't rent to Section 8. How is your... or what is your understanding about that? Can they live there?
Yes. Now, we personally don't accept Section 8, mm-hmm. and that's just a choice by our business. But yes, you can have Section 8 in your mobile home. You have to do the same as any house. You have to fix it up to that Section 8 inspection. And it's not going to be much different than any other house. You know, we got some differences if you're usually more in the south, that you have the skirting underneath the homes. So they might be looking for that inspection because people get the weed eater and it makes the holes on it. That's something, especially if you're fixing and flipping, that they look at for the new financing. There's not a lot of differences. Essentially, fix up your property where it's safe and livable, which I think we want to do anyways, right? And then you can pass Section 8. And if you're buying it for less dollars in, which mobile homes we do, and you're getting the same amount because Section 8 pays out by bedrooms, you're going to have a higher return on your investment.
Exactly. I totally understand that. Again, liking the strategy, Adrian, more and more. So I'll ask you this then. So you talked about obtaining these properties and getting finance on them. Like, so how hard is it to get traditional loans on these older 1960 homes that you're talking about? Or what other different ways that investors can maybe get the financing to buy a mobile home? Or what is your favorite way, for example?
Well, there's an important year. As long as you're not driving, write down the year, June 15th, 1976.
Okay.
That's the year the federal government stepped in. They did some really good stuff in the mobile home world. They made a quality across the whole country that they have to be built out of. Before that, every state did a little different. I joke around that it was the wild, wild west. They made them out of toothpicks. So the reason that is an important year when it comes to financing is there is no bank that will finance anything older than that. Newer than the June 15th, 1976, technically, you can get bank financing. Now, there's very few banks that are still going to finance a home and land of a 1978, let's say, because the values are lower. You know, they're doing the same paperwork, and they're going to finance something much lower. They don't understand them. But if you want to go for something like that, even into the 1980s, I highly suggest if you want bank financing, talk to the community banks and the credit unions. If you talk to enough, you'll find the one that specializes in it. But you ask, what is my favorite strategy? I like friends and family. Humans, I prefer to pay a human being. So it's friends, family, it's private money, and it's owner financing. The owners of these older mobile homes, they already know there's not bank financing. But when I go and talk to them and we start talking about money, they don't give me pushback. Well, why don't you just go to a bank? because they know that banks don't finance it. And honestly, a lot of them bought the home on owner financing. So if you haven't studied the topic of owner financing, some of the mobile home sellers might know more about the topic than you do. And those, so those are my two favorite ways. If we get to the 90s and newer, there's bank financing out there for and some investors, and then there's some for the fix and flip. So if you're going to sell it to an end buyer, I do want to point out there, if you're going to fix and flip them, please go and talk to the bank that's going to finance it. Again, I suggest the community banks because they will understand a little bit more. But ask them what the requirements are, because you're going to have all the traditional requirements. But earlier I mentioned that they might have a requirement for skirting. We have these things called tie downs and straps and tiers. Well, there's different codes around the country, and you want to know what that is so you don't get surprised at the inspection. Oh, you need to go and put a few more $1,000 into this property.
Makes sense. I definitely hear you on making a good effort to be friends with the actual community. It looks like we have a caller online. You ready to take a call? Hey, Michael in Ohio, what's your question?
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. Very interesting topic here. You did respond to my email. That was me, Cleveland Senior Home Solutions. My question is, I'm working with a senior client that is looking to, they own a mobile home. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They own a mobile home, but they're looking to move into a senior community and want to sell the mobile home, but they don't own the land. And I'm looking for the proper way to structure a deal on this, wondering when Adrian is going to be in the Cleveland, Ohio area so I can attend one of his seminars and webinars, and if there is a website where I can go to get more training and information on how to do mobile home purchases. Those are my three questions.
Michael, to clarify, you want to help them sell their mobile home. Are you looking to wholesale this, or you want to give them the information on where to go and sell it?
Okay. I am an investor. I'm looking at purchasing them because I'm also a senior placement agent. So I'm helping her to find a senior community to move into, but she needs to sell her mobile home to have the finances available to move into that senior community, but she also pays lot fees. She owns the home, but she does pay lot fees.
Perfect. So I would, as I said earlier, I would make sure that the manager is going to be okay with you as an investor buying. Now, if they're not, then maybe you can connect them with the right buyer of it. Of course, you want to be careful that you're not representing and acting as a agent. So in the mobile home, when you don't own the land, it's not the realtor space. You're essentially a car dealer because they are a vehicle. So you'd have to have a license to be able to do that. And I would still look at a lot of the common places. People do put them on Zillow, even though they don't fully fit there. But I like the Facebook groups. I like networking, putting some signs out. We have found that works pretty well. The community, where do the people that are moving in there, where do they shop? Where do they go? And maybe do some marketing there as some outside-of-the-box thinking. Tell the park manager, hey, we got this for sale, because a lot of people go to the park manager to find something inside, and then the simple putting the signs up. We don't have to get too creative when we're selling them than with traditional housing.
Okay. Can you also buy mobile homes under a creative financing subject to type of situation if they have an existing loan or mortgage on that property?
Yes. Thank you for that question. You can do everything that we learn at all of our seminars that we go to about, like you said, subject to or owner financing, any of these strategies, they can all work with mobile homes. So I have purchased them subject to. I've done almost all of these strategies. So we go and learn all of these at the conferences, and there's just another tool in our tool belt. We can use it with a single family house. We can use it with an apartment. And, of course, we can use it with a mobile home as well.
Absolutely. So when will you be in the Cleveland area giving your seminars?
I don't remember the exact dates. I believe it's Halloween is whenever the Ohio conference starts.
Yeah, so let me talk about that, because I know you're going to be sharing with us at the this year's conference. The National REIA Real Estate Investment Summit is here in Cincinnati, and the dates for that this year are October the 31st through the 3rd. I know that's when you're going to be here sharing a lot of your great information, Adrian. And you can find out more about that at OREIA.com. That is OREIA.com. And I really appreciate your calling in, Michael, and appreciate your email as well. Are we up for a break? I think we are. And, guys, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, guys, welcome back to Real Live Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Tiffany Ray, and I'm sitting in for Vina Jones-Cox today. We're talking to Adrian Smooth, the best-selling author of his guide, How to Buy Mobile Homes. And, Adrian, when we left just before the break, we were talking about the rehabs of mobile homes, and you had indicated something about a handyman special. So I was going to ask you about, what's the maintenance? Is it lower maintenance on those particular homes in your investment strategy pool?
Of course, this is going to depend on what type of manager you are within the property management world. So if we want to keep our products and our homes up to good condition, we have found they're right about the same maintenance cost as any house. Now, of course, we want to go in and do the right preventative maintenance ahead of time. When we attract a lot of blue-collar handyman, handywoman, which happens to be who comes to a lot of our properties, they take really good care of the property. They take pride in their home. So we have found right now we don't have as high of a maintenance cost, but we still run the same numbers, you know, 10% average that it's going to cost us for maintenance and repairs. I'd say one of the keys here is to find a handyman, a contractor that understands working on mobile homes. It's not impossible, but it can be a little bit more challenging. We already know it's challenging to find the right contractors, but then finding the one that understands mobile homes, that's the key piece of it.
That very interesting, that contractor piece. We definitely will do some repair for equity type stuff in the real estate for which I invest in. So that does make sense to me, and I'm sure to our listeners. So you talk about these 1960 homes and some of the ones that may have a little deferred maintenance or handyman special. So how do you value these things, like the age, the size of it? How do you decide what to pay for actual mobile home in your particular deal?
How do I personally do it? I'll tell you first, and then I'll give you a little bit more general answer. For me, I'm a cash flow investor. Mm-hmm. So I look at what is the return on my investment? What is my all-in cost? And then what am I going to get as a net return after it? But I look at that for any asset class I'm going to invest in. Now, how do we look at it as more of an appraisal value is usually what people want to know. You know, it can be more difficult on the 1960s and 70s to get a true appraisal value. I personally like that because that means a lot of people don't want to learn it because, you know, it takes a little bit of work. Well, that means there's less competition. But how do I do it, though? We look at what is the dirt value. That's one reason I like the home and the land. Like I mentioned, the return of my investment, I take that value. And then we can look up like the traditional comp. You want to be a little more careful when it's the older homes, the 60s and 70s, because you have a skewed number of investors buying for cash. You're going to have that real low number. And then you're going to have a skewed number of investors selling on owner financing, which is typically a little bit higher than the average value. So we have to kind of look at all that in the middle and find the what we believe is the real value. If we're looking at something in the 1990s and newer, we can pretty much do comps the same way you do any other house. because there's usually enough sales and there's bank financing in that world.
That bank financing, that's something interesting. I think we should explore that. But I was just notified that we do have an email question. Are you ready to take some questions from the email?
Let's do it.
Okay. And so before I do that, I just want to let you guys know that our lines are open. You can call us at 1-877-772-9658. This question is from Michael Thomas, and he's got a 330 area code, so I think that might be Cleveland. It says, when I review my county's annual tax sales list, there are frequently numerous mobile homes listed. These are usually in mobile home communities. I assume the homes are abandoned and building up back lot rents. Is there a strategy for investing in these?
If we're assuming it has lot rent, which means that we only would be buying the home, we would be buying aluminum castle and no dirt. Now, yes, there's going to be the back lot fees. Most park managers, that lot fees and any legal fees associated with it stay with the home. So if you were to be buying that, you're going to inherit all of those fees. I would go to the park manager, have a conversation. First, are they okay with an investor there? The park manager, they make all the rules. And if they don't want an investor there, you're going to have a really hard time with that investor. So I'd want to make sure that they are okay with an investor and then have a conversation with them. Tell them how you're going to fix it up. You're going to bring someone in that's going to take care of it and add value to their community. Maybe you can negotiate some free lot rent or every other month. Free lot rent or a reduced lot rent until you get the right person there. But the key piece to that is that manager being good to work with. If they're not okay to work with, personally, I don't want to invest in that park.
Yeah, so it stands to reason that if they're difficult or going to give you some pushback, that is just like our code violations or our enforcement agencies. If you have problems with those and standing up your type of real estate strategy, you would not want to invest in those. Makes sense to me. We've got one more from Cleveland Senior Home Solutions, and his question is there a website where I can get more information on buying mobile homes that you would recommend?
I'm not sure this question is where to find the mobile homes.
I think
or education. I know I'm going to be up in Ohio end of this year, mm-hmm. helping with the education side. But for finding them, you know, we can look on Zillow. If we're looking for the home and land, Zillow, the MLS. If we're looking for just the home in the park, it is mobilehomevillage.com. I believe that's the site that it's kind of a Zillow for just the mobile home. Or the MLS for just the mobile home itself. I would look at those sites, but if it's a home and land, which is my favorite, anywhere you look for a house, you can look on those sites as well.
Good to know. I did not know that mobile homes really resembled single family houses so much. Like I said, I know that they've evolved over years. We just used to talk about them in many different ways. I was reading a statistic the other day, and it told me that 22 million Americans live in manufactured home. That's about 6% of the population, you know, and that's a lot of people. I was very surprised to see that. So no wonder you want to invest in this strategy. Let's see here. I think we have time for one more question from the email, and this one comes from Robert Raskin. It says, Adrian, would you go through a specific example of one of your acquisitions? For example, purchase price, how do you finance it? What is the rental income versus monthly expenses, vacancies, and how is your monthly net income since this seems to be your main focus?
All right, Robert, thank you for the question. I'm gonna go pretty quick because I want to give two different examples.
Sure.
I'm gonna give one from the 1960s, the home itself. We bought it for $37,000. The owner financed it to us, $125 a month, 0% interest. And then we did a little bit of cleanup. And before we finished the cleanup, we had another investor make us an offer. And now we are owner financing it to that investor. We could have just fixed it up some and put it out for rent. I think we were looking about $600 for rent, which is below that area, but we were going to keep it as a handyman special to be nice. But he is paying us 14% interest and $400 a month. So our return on our investment, when you start doing that calculation, is really nice. And we didn't have to do a lot of work. But I love that type of deal. There's not going to be growth or, you know, an equity play on there. Separate from that, let's look at a 1990s that we bought. This is in the path of progress. The dirt itself is going to have more value in the future. We bought it for $116,000. We put about $37,000 in it. So we put the same amount of money in it. We did a lot of repairs to this thing. And it's running at $1,850 a month. And that's about average for a single family house in that area as well. But our property comes with a fenced yard and a little workshop in the back, which our ideal resident wants all of that. So they have the added value of that. They don't want an HOA. Now, we got to remember, these are Central Florida numbers. So if you're in certain parts of the country, you might need to add a zero, or maybe you need to take away a zero. But just look at the return on investment. Start putting those numbers in your calculator, and they're pretty good returns.
Yeah, I would say so. You're making me like this strategy more and more and more. So I think we might have one more time for actually.
We can do one more question.
This one is going to actually get your thinking cap going. So I'm going to talk about some stereotypes and myths. I'm going to ask the question, and then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about it. So I do want to know some of the differences in mobile homes, and let's debunk some of those stereotypes and myths. You hear words like crime-ridden, poverty, shoddy. When I look at it, it actually could be a solution for affordable and attainable housing. So I want to start with, when you come back, can Section 8 tenants live there? And then let's have a little discussion around those myths. Okay? Let's take a break. Thank you for continuing to listen to the show today. I am Tiffany Ray, and I am sitting in for Vena Cox-Jones. Or I said that all backwards. Vena Jones Cox, she's going to get me. And we're on Real Life Real Estate Investing, talking about all things mobile homes with Adrian Smood. I'd like to take an opportunity, guys, to personally invite you to Thursday, June the 20th's meeting at Cincinnati RIA. This is our monthly online national meeting. And you ladies out there will definitely want to be there. It's going to be our Women of Power panel. These ladies are rocking it out in the real estate world. And you can get the information and your link to join us at CincinnatiRIA.com. Oh, yeah, guys, you're welcome, too. So that's only if you're not intimidated by these ladies who are killing it in the real estate investment world. That's June the 20th. Our Women's of Power panel, and that's going to be at CincinnatiREIA.com. So, Adrian, I've got several more questions to ask you, and we are running out of time. But what I am going to switch to right now is, okay, so we've purchased these things, and we've been an investor for a long time, but now we want to exit. So how many exit strategies can you utilize with this, with these mobile homes? Like, can you wholesale them, retail them, like sell them with financing? What is your favorite, and can you tell us why?
You can do everything you can do with a house. But again, all of these tools and strategies we learn for single family homes, we can do that with mobile homes. Now, I don't like to sell. But yes, every once in a while I do sell. My favorite strategy, if I sell, is owner financing, especially if it's one of the older ones. Earlier I mentioned that we ended up selling a mobile home to another investor, and he was happy paying 14% interest. Why would he be happy paying that? Well, he couldn't go anywhere else for bank financing. The home's not financeable. He's not financeable because he's an investor, and banks don't like us investors. Oh, I get to collect a high interest rate on that. Now, hopefully he buys it and doesn't ever give it back to me, but if he did, then I would be able to resell it again. If you're going to do that with an owner-occupant, yes, you still have to comply with the Dodd-Frank, the SAFE Act, because we're still providing housing for someone that lives there. You can still wholesale them. You can definitely fix and flip them. Fix and flip is really hot right now for mobile homes. And I say hot, I don't mean that tons of people are doing it. There's still a lot of space there. I mean the profits have gone up. Because someone that buys a home, they usually buy on the payment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mobile homes are typically in the affordable housing space, the workforce housing space, the first-time home buyer space, whatever term you prefer. So there's been a lot more demand there. But people are able to afford the payment on a nice mobile home that you fix the right way. It's beautiful. And there's been bidding wars all over the country for these now. I have friends that are selling them for much higher than they ever expected, where other asset classes have kind of flatlined, we'll say.
Well, there's definitely a lot of competition in the market, especially in the single-family home space. But I do like this solution for an affordable and attainable housing, especially amongst our first-time home buyers. So, again, liking this strategy more and more. And then the return on investment seems really great. But I can honestly say to you, 12%, that's not bad. I remember, I don't know how old you are, Adrian, and maybe we don't tell on air, but I remember when 12% was a standard. Like, it's not so long ago in my life, you know, you went to the bank or a finance company and you got a 12% loan. So still with the interest rates spiraling out of control like they are with a creative financing and seller financing, I don't think that 12% is a bad mark. And both people are happy for what it is that they get. So let's transition into finding deals, because that's going to be probably a big question. And I'm very surprised that our line is open. Guys, I know we have about 5 minutes left. You still can call us at 877-772-9658. But let's talk about finding these deals. Like, do I buy a list? Do I look for defaulted mortgages, water shutoffs? Is there an existing list for mobile homes on land? What is it that you recommend? How do we find these things?
You're going to find a theme here that if you can do it for a single family, you can do it for the mobile home space as well. You can buy the list. You can look for the codes or different things. I will say, if you don't have the right list provider, it can be a little more difficult. I have not found a list provider that specializes in mobile homes. What do I mean by difficult is they don't always get rid of or kick out of the list all of the lot rent properties. So when I bought lists, I just had to basically pay for those when I didn't want any with lot rent. But how do I find most of my properties? I'm a referral person. I go and I market at my local RIAs. I also love working with realtors. See, a lot of investors don't understand mobile homes. I go to the RIAs and I say, I buy mobile homes. Someone approaches me at some point and says, why would you buy mobile homes? They go down in value. They're all trailer trash, blah, blah, blah. You're right, Tiffany. Send me all your leads.
Right.
And they do. And very similar with realtors. You know, realtors, they get paid on the closing price. Mobile homes are typically one less zero. So they don't always want to do the same amount of work for less money. But realtors still want to help people. I became an information source to realtors. And realtors bring me leads. Now, I like to keep everyone in the deal because everyone deserves to get paid still. And if you get paid, you come talk to me again, right?
Yep, that's referral marketing by design. And definitely those referrals, once you make friends and financial friends, you keep doing those deals over and over and over again. So I totally understand the strategy. So I know that Mike from Ohio asked about your training. So can you give us a little preview of what you will be sharing when you present at this year's national conference in October, November?
Yes. One of the case studies, I have a few case studies there, but I want to show you the massive strategy of how you get the more ROI, the higher ROI. When I say more, I mean higher. I sold one single family house, and I'll give you the big wow out of it. I exchanged into 7 mobile homes, and my cash flow went up 857%.
Wow.
That's the power of the mobile home. So I'm going to go over that. We'll talk a little bit more about the financing. You know, we had such a short time here. We'll go into the marketing a lot more because that's always a topic people love to dive into. But we got to find them before we can do anything else. We'll go over some more myths. I have some more case studies because case studies, I have found that that's how I learn. I want to see and walk through it. We'll go through that. And then, of course, we're going to have questions and answers because I like to teach what everyone wants to learn, not what I think you want to learn. And I am there the whole time, so I don't just fly in and fly out at a conference like this one because it's such a high-quality conference. I've been going for years as an attendee. I'll be there the whole time.
So, Adrian, with about 2 minutes left in our schedule, I know we could go on and on. What else is there? So if there wasn't a question that we answered tonight or something in particular that you wanted to share about mobile homes and or your strategy, what would that be?
I always love to leave people with the concept of not leaving money on the table. Yes, I went and switched my entire strategy over to mobile homes, but that's not for everyone. But you'll get a mobile home lead at some point. And what a lot of people do is they leave money on the table by not understanding them enough to maybe buy it and add it to their portfolio so they have a more recession-resistant portfolio, or at least to wholesale it and help the seller out. I got a quick story on that, and this is one thing that helped me really get into the mobile home space, put my eye on it. I had a lead. I didn't understand mobile homes enough. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to give this to my friend Gavin. And he's a realtor, investor, property manager. He had helped me a lot. I wasn't licensed. We pulled a lot of CMAs, and he was just really good to me. Never asked for anything in return. I said, Gavin, here's a lead. And he kept asking me, Adrian, are you sure? And I said, yeah, he's helped me a lot. Well, he bought it for about $18,000, home and land. And within a few weeks, he resold it for an $18,000 profit. In a few weeks, he almost doubled his money. And how do I know the whole story? Well, he had a podcast at a time, and he talked about it every single week. And yes, it was painful because I wanted another $18,000 in my pocket, but it woke me up that I was leaving money on the table by only focusing on single-family residents. Oh. I encourage you to learn at least enough to help the seller out, because that's what we're doing first. And if you help the seller out, you'll be able to profit as well.
And fantastic. We could not end on a better note. We thank you, Adrian, for talking with us today. And guys, this week assignment, double down on your dues, go make a deal, and happy investing. We'll see you next time.